bigger obstacle is in the political and institutional realm. I think that, if anything, our political culture is becoming more and more aware of kind of these class inequalities. In some sense, that's what's been driving some of our politics for the past, 10 years. That's been a current that's been there, and something motivating, right? The popularity of someone like Bernie Sanders, and then the supporters of Donald Trump seem to see him as someone who, I guess, they think will stand up for the little guy against big corporate America. I'm not certain of that.
Well, Anthony, thank you so much for having this discussion with me. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to chat with us, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
You too. Thanks so much. I appreciate the chance to talk.
That was Rutgers University professor Anthony Grosso, the author of the new book, Dual Justice, America's Divergent Approaches to Street and Corporate Crime. He spoke with KBOO's Eliza Yurkov. You've been listening to KBOO News in Depth. I'm Marty Wall. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
You're listening to KBOO's Catalog of Connections year-end campaign, where we bring you a range of community-oriented programming built by community members like you.
Help KBOO reach our $75,000 goal by December 31st so we can bring you another great year of cutting-edge radio made by you, for you. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321 to contribute today.
Hey everybody, tune in Saturday, December 21st at 5 o'clock for Blues Junction. We're spreading some holiday cheer with singer-songwriter Mark Lemhouse. He's a blues man, and he's got some new music coming out here. I've invited him to come out and do a live performance and interview, and who knows, maybe he'll squeeze in a holiday tune. So again, that's Mark Lemhouse, Saturday, December 21st. You're invited. Winter's now fading, and I won't have to stay here too. There's something missing and I'm litting, I got something to say.
Good evening, you're listening to Transpositive here on KBOO Community Radio. Today we're talking with Abigail Sibelman and Aubrey Sibelman about the West Side Queer Resource Center. Abigail and Aubrey, welcome to Transpositive.
Thanks, Emma.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thanks so much. It's great having you on. So we're here tonight to talk about the West Side Queer Resource Center in Hillsborough, and about what's going on out there, and maybe also a little bit about you all and your story. So first of all, if you could introduce yourselves, each of you individually, and tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are. And then after that, if one of you can also tell us what the West Side Queer Resource Center is, and we'll go from there.
Great. My name is Aubrey Sibelman. I am the facilitator of the Trans Adult Affinity Group at the WQRC, and I'm actually recently a board member with WQRC also.
I'm Abigail Sibelman. My pronouns are she, her. I am a board member with the Westside Queer Resource Center, and I facilitate the Queer Adult Affinity Group.
Great, thank you. And so let's start with the Westside Queer Resource Center, because that's why we're here today. I didn't know the Westside Queer Resource Center existed until this spring. That was actually the first time I heard about it. But I'm out in Outer Southeast, so, and I don't know everything that's going on. But what is the Westside Queer Resource Center, for starters?
Yeah, so in 2019, there were a group of people who felt like there was a need to start an organization analogous to the Portland Q Center, but on the west side in Washington County, to serve the population that is out here and also just to be more accessible to the population of queer community out here in Washington County. So that is the birth of the Westside Queer Resource Center and the goal to serve this community here. The ramp up year was supposed to be 2020, which of course we all know what happened then. So there's been, you know, it's been a growing organization for a few years now, going through the pandemic as well. Finally, we got our first physical location in June of 2023 at the Downtown Hive in downtown Hillsboro. We have an office there, and we now have, thanks to that physical space, open office hours on Mondays and Wednesdays, as well as so much regular programming. Over the last year, we've grown from one piece of regular programming, our monthly all ages game nights, to I think we're up to over half a dozen at this point, in-person groups, events, and just lots of community building programming happening in our space.
Bree, would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, in addition to that, we're doing some kind of more one-off events. We recently were we were there at the Halloween event in downtown Hillsboro, keeping our presence known. Like, we just want more people to see us and know that we exist and know that they can access us and all of our awesome resources and groups and everything. We're going to have our first clothing closet event on December 14th, which we are super excited about. We have a lot of clothes to give away. So we're just so excited to just provide more and more content and things to do for the community. It's just really amazing how everything's coming together.
Can you tell me, do you know any of the backstory of kind of what was the impetus to start the Westside Queer Resource Center? I mean, was there a group of people already meeting and they didn't have a place to meet? Was there just like a really motivated one person? Was this part, did Hillsboro reach out to the queer community and offer space? How did it get started?
My understanding is that it was literally Washington County queer residents. I think I don't know the exact number, but there was more than one. Some queer people who were already friends with one another or already in, had relationships and had community among themselves in this close-knit group. And they felt like the one place that queer people had to go in the greater Portland metro area to access resources, access groups, access programming was the Q Center. And so though that small group of people said, well, we live in Washington County and driving into Portland, you know, and wouldn't it be nice if there was something like that out here for us and for our community? And that was sort of, and they went through the amazing process of starting this nonprofit because they wanted to serve. I say a lot, we are the community we serve. And so I think they saw for themselves, and therefore they saw for their community, this need for a local, more local organization to serve our community.
Thanks. And we've just also been joined by Cindy. Cindy, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Cindy Berry. I'm president of the Northwest Gender Alliance, an organization that's been active in the Northwest since 1980. And we are a trans-focused support, education, and outreach group. And I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. And Cindy, would you like to add anything to the story of how the West Side Queer Resource Center began?
Only that, just a little bit. At Pride events, we started running into this group that didn't have a physical location yet, and they were all relatively cool people and had a great idea and a strong drive. And as our organization was really excited to be supportive of their efforts and had wanted to do joint activities with them. And it took a while for that to occur, but I'm more than pleased that we are now doing some things together. And I really enjoy having someone out where I live in Washington County.
Great. Well, thank you so much. So Bree and Abigail and Cindy, whoever would like to take this, can you tell us, let's talk a little bit about the actual space for folks who don't know, where is the space? How can people connect with it? And could you tell us a little bit about some of your programming?
So our office is located, we rent out a room out of the Hillsborough Downtown Hive, which is a building in downtown Hillsborough at the corner of 2nd and Washington. Our address is 233 Southeast Washington Street in Hillsborough, Oregon, and zip code 97123. So we rent a room there where we have our dedicated space and where we have host our open office hours, as well as some of our smaller groups and programming. And then along with our rent, we have the very lucky privilege of being able to access resources within that building. The building only rents out to nonprofits. So it's this great group of people in the building. And there's this meeting space that we all can reserve if there's openness on the calendar, for our regular programming or for one-off events that we do. So we've got both our own little cozy rainbow-filled office, and we also have access to this really great larger meeting space with where we can hold larger events.
And for if people want to find out about it online, how can they find out about that?
That's westsideqrc.org.
And in addition to that, we also have a Facebook, an Instagram, a Twitter account. We have a pretty good social media presence. We post frequently to make sure that the community knows about when all the events are happening. I know you wanted to know about some of the events. So we currently, I believe, have an all-ages game night, an 18-plus trans adult
affair. Wait. When they happen. All-ages game nights is the first Tuesday of every month. Let's do it. We want people to come.
Okay, well, I'm gonna say the events, and then you say the dates because I'm maybe not gonna remember them all as well as you do.
Let's do it.
The game night is on
the first Tuesday of every month at 6:30. Oh no!
See, that's why I was worried about getting too specific.
Okay, that's fair.
Let me run. I'll tell you what we have, and then when you're like really excited about hearing about one of these events, go to our social media accounts. The information is there. You'll be able to figure out where to go and when to go there. So we have our game night. We have our 18-plus trans adult affinity group that I run with Cindy. We have our 18-plus queer adult affinity group, which my wife Abigail runs with Cindy. We have our Saturday craft afternoons, We recently have gotten a, I believe it's Saturday book club up too. We're starting, we have a widower support group that just started. And then also we're coming up with a meditation and breathwork group as well.
Oh, that's great.
And queer social afternoons on every third Saturday as well. Miranda, one of our board members, she does the social afternoons, queer social hour, the book group, and the Saturday crafternoons, all on the third Saturdays of the month.
Oh, great. It sounds like if people wanted to get involved in the Westside Queer Resource Center, there's space for people who want to bring their ideas. Is that true?
Absolutely.
100%. We are, in recent board meetings, we've been going through some board growth, which is really exciting. And I remember bringing up at the last board meeting how we need to have a formalized structure for a suggestion box so that the community can be telling us what they need from us. And also we can have people coming in and saying, hey, I can run this for you. That's exactly how we have our widows and widower group, where community members coming forward and saying, this is something I'd like to see and I'm willing to do it. And same for the breathwork and meditation group. Just a community member walks in our open office hour doors, Varun, fantastic individual, and he says, I can do this. I have experience with running this sort of programming, and we are ready and we have the space to help people start that programming.
So one of the things I've been saying, I'm going to shift just a little bit, but not too much. So one of the things I've been seeing a lot lately is I've been seeing organizations put out calls for meetings and for gathering as community because of the recent election. Is there anything like that happening at the Westside Queer Resource Center?
I remember Bree and I hosted, we invited our fellow board members and our fellow volunteers to our home to spend that for people who didn't want to be alone on election night. And it was really fantastic to be able to have that community and solidarity on such a difficult, with such a difficult experience happening around us. For our official organization and programming, we've begun to talk about maybe some pop-up affinity groups that aren't necessarily those like every month happening, but we need something now and something accessible for people to come together. I know that one of our volunteers is a teacher, and she has heard about at least four different families have told her that they are wondering how to talk to their queer kids about what's happening, and they need that kind of support. So that's definitely something that we plan on creating, that space for people to come together and process and problem solve. Let's do it.
Bree or Cindy, would either of you like to also address that question?
I mean, we put out a really great statement, I thought, on our social media that I think I was trying to figure out how to respond. And I think that we just worded it so well that I wanted to just, if it's okay, just directly read the last paragraph in particular.
Yes, please, any part of it, please.
Yeah, so we said, the Westside Queer Resource Center will always be the place that many of us needed when we first came out, the place our parents and families needed when we first came out. We will always be here to remind not only our community, but the communities around us that hate does not win here. Hate does not define Washington County. Hate has no place here. And I think those are just really strong words that sum up WQRC's just
commitment.
There's thank you for the to our community that we serve.
Cindy, what about you? What about the Northwest Gender Alliance?
We've been on our social media channels. We've been posting things like hotlines if you're feeling depressed or suicidal. We don't want anyone to give up. Personally, when people have asked me, I said I'm not ready to give up. I don't know how much fight is in me because of my ability, but I'm not willing to run away, and I'm not willing to give up any fight. We're also later in November, we'll be having our Transgender Day of Remembrance and Resilience, and we want to especially remind people this is a time we have to work on our helping others work on their resilience, because things are going to be difficult for many of us.
Thank you. By the way, Cindy, if people want to find out about the Northwest Gender Alliance, how can they find out about that organization?
We are on Facebook, and we have a website, nwgenderalliance.org. And we have a calendar of events on our webpage. And on Facebook, it's Northwest Gender Alliance official Facebook page. And so those are the easiest ways to access us.
Thank you. Bree, Abigail, one of the many things that I'm hearing about is people are really, I'm hearing two different things. One is I'm hearing people who are really concerned about very specific things that relate to trans and non-binary folks. Like, I'm hearing people express concerns about their identity documents, about accessing their health insurance, wondering what the status is going to be for trans youth who are transitioning in school right now. And so I'm hearing a lot of those questions. And then I'm also hearing people, the number one place I've been hearing people say is, oh, we're going to move to Portland. I mean, it doesn't matter where I go in the, cybersphere, wherever I'm going, where they're talking about this, they're talking about moving either out of the country or they're talking about moving to a blue state. And the one I hear all the time is everybody's asking, what's it like in Portland? What's it like in Oregon? So are you all prepared at the Westside Queer Resource Center to take on maybe more people fleeing here because of concerns over what's going on in red states? And are you also, do you have any services to offer people who have questions about things that they really are concerned about, like their identity documents, their health insurance, support for trans kids?
I am thrilled that you brought this up because, as you know, all of our brains have been on different modes of functionality in the last week. And so I had not mentioned yet, one of the most exciting things that we have in the works right now, our board chair, Shannon, has already begun the process of planning a legal event, a legal support event, where we are hoping to be able to give people access to legal consult, whether it's about name change or, gender marker, anything like that. We are also hoping to have some officiants present for anybody who wants to get their marriage through before January. And there was one of the, so, and then what you mentioned, access to healthcare, if we can have maybe somebody who specializes in navigating health insurance and those processes, but we want to create a very real and something to help people with the nitty gritty of being who they are in our society and the legal health and all of that assistance. So we're going to be putting that together, and I'm hoping it should be up and running within a month. I think we're going to start with one event and see what the community needs.
Thank you. Bray or Cindy, would either of you like to comment on that question?
We have a lot of deeply feeling, deeply caring people in the WQRC who are just committed to our community. And we are in this for the reason that we want to help people. We want to be there to support and help people through their processes. And I think come to us. If you need assistance and you're in the queer community, come to us. You will find support. You will find love. You will find any help that we can possibly provide you.
And we're the board of NWGA is in discussions of how we can support financial assistance for people to get a passport or their name change. Because even if I don't believe the right thing to do is leaving the country, having that as a backup plan and having the comfort of having your real government ID with your name and proper gender marker on it could be really valuable as a security thing. And it might become a necessity, of which I don't know. I hope that doesn't come to pass, but some people were really nervous about it. One individual that I've known for a few years said they don't have the money to get that. And Abigail, Aubrey, myself, and some others all contributed just out of our own personal pocket to make sure that they would have that ability to get that passport. And so NWGA would like to work, and I think the right thing for us, we'll work with WQRC. So it's kind of a coordinated effort, but we can afford to do some financial assistance there.
And then you also asked about, are we ready for the influx of community members? And when we gathered together in our office Wednesday, all asking each other, what do we do? One of the very first thoughts put forward is our community is going to be growing, and we need to show that we are ready and welcoming to all of the people who will be moving here. Everybody will be moving where is right for them, whether that's here, whether that's to other blue states, or whether that's out of the country. And yes, we are ready and excited. Is excited the word? We are ready to receive all queer people moving to our community.
Thank you. Bree or Cindy, would you like to comment on that last part of the question regarding people migrating here from other parts of the country?
We'll be meeting with the folks from Pride Northwest who have some other programs going on that have been assisting some people that have been moving to Oregon, and see what if there's something we can do to help expand that program a little bit. Because I know Pride Northwest does sponsor some groups that are helping in that space, but I don't have the details. So we're planning a meeting with Pride Northwest to find out more about that and how we can help.
Thanks. So back to the Westside Queer Resource Center. What does it mean to you personally, Abigail and Bree and Cindy, to have this space? It must be really exciting to, have a place where you can go, where people can go and, feel at home and be able to experience connections. How does that feel?
I'm just so happy it exists now. When I started my transition back in 2018, 2019, my wife took me to the Trans Women Support Group at the Q Center in Portland, and it was a really long drive, but it was such an important experience for me being around other trans women. Just being in the room meant so much. And having the ability now as the facilitator of an affinity group for trans people, it's every time I finish my group, I'm just so happy that I can be there to provide that for those people. Because I think back to myself at the beginning of my transition, how just desperately I needed something like that. And the WQRC, I feel like it's so meaningful. The board members are just, we're so committed and so excited to be providing this service. And it means the world to me. And that's why I just want to do as much as I can to support our organization as it grows.
Joining
Go ahead, Abigail.
For me, finding out about the Westside Peer Resource Center and then starting to volunteer there and then becoming a board member and starting an affinity group there, for me, at a very personal level, has just been such a fulfilling and community building experience. I have not had this amount of connection to my community before now, and it is truly through the existence of this organization and my involvement with it that has allowed me to access my community and bond with them and build relationships and friendships that mean the world to me. And it's all because this organization exists. And I see within my own queer affinity group, which I started selfishly because I wanted an affinity group to be part of. So I started this group, and I have seen, we have a Discord channel where if you come to group, you can join our Discord channel. And I've seen these bonds being created between people who met because of coming to group. And it's just this really beautiful community building experience that we're able to, that just feels so good to provide for the community.
Oh, great.
And I am so excited that people come to either of the affinity groups as appropriate and then say they didn't know how to find any support out away from Portland. And they're so happy to be around other people. And people, we've had a number of folks that were just starting to come out, just starting to try to understand themselves. And they've, one of them made the comment, "The first time I didn't feel like I could interact much, but I felt so much more comfortable afterwards. I really had to come back and be more interactive." And so we're helping people come to themselves and build a connection. And that's so important nowadays. I've built personal friendships with some of the people there that I had never met before. And it's wonderful. It's such a creative community, such a giving community. We've gotten a lot of help on Pride events and stuff from some of the folks there, and I know that the affinity groups are making a huge difference. I know the drop-in office hours are making a huge difference. This is, Washington County's needed this forever.
So one of the things I had mentioned in our pre-interview, Abigail and Bree and Cindy also, was offering you the opportunity, if you wanted to share your own personal coming out story. And I think now is a good time for that. So if any of you would like to share your own personal coming out story, I'd love to offer this time to do that.
I have a fun little silly one I can throw your way. So I started my transition in 2018 or 2019. I was like the shyest, most nervous person. It took me years to come out, really. And I finally worked up the courage, and my wife found out, "Oh, you're a trans woman. Okay, that makes a lot of sense." And then her parents were the next people I went to, super accepting, wonderful people. And for many months, they were the only people that knew. And I needed to find a way to tell my parents and my brother. And we went over to my parents' house in Sherwood, and my brother was there. My parents were at the beach. My parents were coming back the next day. And I had written a letter because that was the best way for me to do it. And we're sitting there with my brother. We're playing Mario Kart. And he makes a comment that will live with me forever, because he learns that I'm about to tell him some big news, and he sarcastically and in a kind of a little bit of a mean-spirited way, jokingly, playfully, whatever, he goes, "What, you're a woman?" And I just turned and looked at my wife, and I just about lost it. And then we gave him the letter, and he read it, and he just felt so bad. But it was like the beginning of this wonderful, like, building of this relationship with my brother. He's so supportive, such a great person. But the "what, you're a woman" comment, when he had no idea what I was about to tell him, was just perfect.
And it was a growth moment for him as well, because come on.
Absolutely.
Would anyone else like to share their coming out story?
I'm going to wait at this time.
I guess I don't know if I have much of a story. I've been bisexual as long as I can remember. So there wasn't like a moment when I needed to tell anyone. The cutest anecdote I can think of is sitting in the back seat of my parents' Ford Taurus station wagon, where they have the seats that face backwards. I was with my friend, and we're like both like 8 years old or something, and talking about how we're gonna get married when we grow up. That's the closest I can think of to like letting my parents know that I was bisexual.
This show, Transpositive, is mainly focused on transgender and non-binary folks. So you know, we're talking to you about the West Side Queer Resource Center, kind of with a transgender lens. But obviously as a queer resource center, you're reaching out to the entire queer community, including lesbians, bisexuals, gay people, non-binary folks, two-spirit, agender, asexual, you know, the whole spectrum. And so how's that going with, you know, the whole spectrum of the queer community? Is it being utilized by that community? And how does that present itself?
I think if you look to Abigail's affinity group in particular, like the spectrum of the community is very well represented across the board in her affinity group. And I know I'm talking for you, Abigail, but I notice it very well there that we have gay people, bisexual people, trans people. We have a few people of color who've been coming to us, and we really want to do more and reach out to more people from the BIPOC community also as the Westside Queer Resource Center. Intersectionality is so important to us.
I think, yeah, this is the moment to emphasize that as we face this last week and this upcoming time in our country, that our organization is incredibly driven and committed to building more connections and intersectionality within our own community. You know, I know that this show focuses on trans and non-binary experiences and needs and everything. And as an organization, we are there for the queer community as a whole and the whole rainbow umbrella. And we need to recognize that in the current state and always, as a rule, we should be making connections and building bridges between us and all marginalized communities, people of color, disabled people. This is where our official statement comes in. We need to strengthen the bonds between our community and any community that faces potential oppression in the coming, or already faces, obstacles. And so it is our plan to be building even more relationships with other communities as well as our own, because what we need is not to be individuals who are dominoes in a line ready to fall. We need to be united as a rampart.
So I'm not sure exactly how old y'all are. I didn't ask you your age, and it's none of my business. You look to me like you're a lot younger than me. So you may remember in 2016, or that may have been before your time, when in 2016, during the first Trump administration, the first thing that Trump did was he went after immigrants and people of color, people who are undocumented citizens living in this country. And I was there because I was involved in occupying with, I was there supporting the folks who occupied the ICE building downtown over on McAdam, down by the South Waterfront. But I mean, we were hearing stories of undocumented people and immigrant workers and people who had been living here in this country for like 20 and 30 years, getting rounded up, getting chased down and, you know, deported and breaking up their families and causing all kinds of trauma. And where out where you are in Hillsborough, I mean, is where a huge like portion of the immigrant and Latino community lives. Is there anything that you can do at the Queer Resource Center to support this community at this time when they're facing an imminent threat?
What we need to do is reach out to the organizations who specialize in serving these communities of color, these immigrant communities, and tell them we, in no uncertain terms, we are here, we are ready. What do you need? What can we do? Because if someone from outside of the queer community wanted to support our community, I would hope that they would come to us and say, what can we do? Where is the help needed? And so that's what we need to do, is form those connections, reach out and network with these human beings who are running these other organizations and know exactly what needs to be done, or who are ready for us to help brainstorm on what to do. But I think recognizing that each community has its own unique needs and meeting people where they're at, communication is going to be the biggest first step that we can do.
Bree or Cindy, would either of you like to add anything to that?
I'll let Bree go first, and I want to kind of revisit the topic just before this.
Honestly, I don't think I could say it any better than my wife just said it. So I think her words are my words too. I will also thank you, Emma, for thinking that we are so young.
You are. You're kids.
I mean, we were there. We
marched. We protested also.
Yeah.
One of the things that I noticed early on with the queer affinity group at WQRC and the trans affinity group at QRC is there is no divisiveness. There's a strong mutual support from people of different queer aspects. And in the trans affinity group, we have a lot of Arrow Ace, non-binary. One trans man identifies as gay. So, I mean, the whole notion of any aspect of queer being separate and unique, I think, falls apart because and a number of us trans women identify as lesbian. So there's a lot of intersectionality. I mean, transgender is one aspect, but all of the other aspects come into play. And the whole thing about more people talking about non-binary is really important because I don't want people in the community to feel isolated from one another. We need to be there for self-support. And both of these affinity groups have been an amazing example of people pulling together and not being divisive. So I think this is something that in past times wasn't so obvious to me, but I'm extremely excited that that's what we're developing. And I'm seeing friendships being made, and it's about people. And the fact that they're queer brought us together, but it doesn't divide us, it unites us.
Thank you. The community, you said that you're in a space that you share with other nonprofits. How is your reception within the broader community of Hillsborough and Washington County outside of the queer community? How's that been going?
That's a fantastic question. So the Halloween event that we participated in recently was not a Westside Queer Resource Center Halloween event. It was a downtown Hillsboro Halloween event, and we were just one of the participants. Going into the event, we had some nerves because of a lot of the messaging going around on in media and on social media that the community as a whole might have a response that might make our volunteers who were staffing our booth uncomfortable, or, you know, just how, what we just didn't know what to expect from the community as we did this event. You know, we're going to be the rainbow tent, and it was a trick-or-treating event for families to come, and kids went around trick-or-treating in the rain. Fantastic. But we were nervous, and so we actually prepared a resource sheet for our volunteers. One side was a how to respond if something uncomfortable comes up, if a community member or even a child just parrots something that they've heard from their parents or something like that. And we also had the reverse side, which is the self-care. If you experience something, if you're feeling anything, this is, you know, remember you are valid, remember that you are loved, and remember that we're here with you. And this sheet that we prepared, just in case, was unnecessary. The community was excited to see us there. The kids, there was no hesitation to approach our booth. We wished many people a happy Halloween, and we had a fantastic reception. In fact, we had our pride stickers out, and multiple kids were fishing through, "I'm looking for mine." And it just felt like the community knew us and accepted us at that particular event. Upcoming, we have, we'll be participating in the Hillsboro Holly Days event in November, or this is November, on November 23rd, where we'll be running the Hot Cocoa booth. And again, we're going to have the resource sheet available. And my hope is that we will have a similar experience of the community not batting an eye when the cocoa booth is bedecked in rainbows.
Thanks, Grace. Cindy, would either of you like to add anything to that?
We've had, I mean, the reception that we've gotten at the Hillsboro Pride has always been very positive. And there's a large base of really kind people in Hillsboro. And some of that, I think, is just due to ethnic diversity because of the high-tech industry. And some of it is just that high-tech folks have kind of set the standard of what's acceptable. But in general, we've always had a really positive reception in Hillsboro. It could be someplace you would be suspicious, but I've never had a problem. Even going to places where you don't find queer people very often, like the tractor parts store, I've not had a problem, right? It does seem to be quite accepting and very supportive.
I had a chance recently to sit down with the Hillsboro, Oregon chief of police, and I had a pretty long conversation with him. He seemed like a nice person. What's the relationship with the police and with elected officials and the queer community out in Washington County? Is that also a positive and supportive relationship?
I've had numerous conversations with the mayor and the prior police chief, and always had a good relationship. Abigail, what's your response there?
To be honest, I'm not sure I can speak too well to this on a personal level because I myself have not interfaced much with local our city officials or our local police force, I want to recognize and validate that people within our community in general, I have heard voiced, trepidation or uncertainty around the safety of police in general, but that doesn't mean that I have not heard of anything specifically where our local police or city officials have done anything untoward. And I think that it will be important in the coming days and weeks for us to start to reach out and build a closer relationship between our organization and those as well.
Thanks. Reed, do you have anything to add to any of that?
I don't think I do. Abigail and I are relatively new board members, and our experience with the WQRC has not been a long-term thing. We're hoping it will be a very long-term thing. But I think working to make sure that our relationships with our local politicians and the police force is super, super important, and we'll look forward to doing more of that as we continue on as board members with WQRC.
And I think maybe to bring up, sorry to double dip, but to bring up another offering of our organization is education. And so if there is anything we can offer our local officials or our local police force, it would be, we can offer some trainings on sensitivity trainings or how to interact with, or, you know, just learn more about your local queer community. We've got the info and we're happy to bring it in and teach.
And I'm a third grade teacher, so it works perfectly.
And I've had training with the Department of Justice working with law enforcement. So I'm right there to support everything WQRC is doing.
Great. Maybe one of you will run for public office sometime.
No, don't curse us.
Do you have any plans? Yeah. great. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left. So I just want to make sure if there's anything that we haven't gotten to regarding the Westside Queer Resource Center that you have a chance to share. Is there any programming coming up that you'd like to highlight? You know, any great stories you want to share? Just, kind of anything to help close out the show.
For me, selfishly, what's close to my heart is our open office hours. They are staffed by our fantastic volunteers. Shout out to our volunteers. They are amazing and wonderful people who volunteer their time and their hearts to our keeping our doors open. Our office hours are Mondays from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. and Wednesdays from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Now, here's my plug. Community, if you are listening to this show or if you know anybody in the Washington County area who's interested in volunteering, please go to our website and sign up to volunteer. I would love to be able to expand our open office hours so that people can just come in on a drop-in basis and either sit in a safe space where they can just be themselves, ask about what sorts of resources and programming we offer, or help get help being connected with the resources locally that they are looking for. We just to give a little tidbit story, we are literally kitty corner from the Washington County Courthouse. And so we were able to have a drop-in person who needed help getting their name and gender marker changed. And literally our volunteers helped printed out the forms for them, which is also included in our rent. And we're able to walk them right over to the Washington County Courthouse to file for their name change and gender marker change. So we have that space. We have those stories of people accessing and needing us. And we just want to keep doing that and have more.
Thanks. I was going to say the name change story, but Abigail took that from me. So I just want to re-emphasize that in this time of uncertainty, we, the WQRC, are here to help you and support you. Don't hesitate to come to us. Tell your friends and family about us. If you have any queer people that you love in your life that don't know we exist, make sure they do know we exist. And we're going to do everything we can for you.
And I just want to close up by saying I'm really honored to be able to work with the folks from WQRC. Abigail and Bree brought the set. Every organization needs a fresh influx of energy, and they've brought that energy in and given that organization the second boost it needed to grow and expand. And I'm wholeheartedly supporting them. I'm active with the affinity groups, and I definitely recommend people come and seek them out.
Great, thanks. And just one more time, if you can tell us again how people can get in touch with you in your social media or online or your physical space. If you could share that, that'd be great.
So our name is a bit of a mouthful, but it is Westside Queer Resource Center. You can look us up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and our website is the easiest way to reach us, westsideqrc.org. We have a contact us form on our website that goes straight to the inbox that Bree and a few other board members are constantly watching that inbox. Reach out to us. We are here and ready to respond ASAP.
Thank you so much for joining us on Transpositive. Could you just say your names one more time, and then we'll close up.
I'm Abigail Sibelman, board member with the Westside Queer Resource Center.
I'm Bree Sibelman, board member with the Westside Queer Resource Center.
I'm Cindy Berry, president of Northwest Gender Alliance.
Great. Thanks so much again for joining us today on Transpositive.
Thank you, Emma.
Thank you, Emma.
Transgender people don't live here.
I've never met anyone who's transgender.
I swear I don't know someone who's transgender.
Transgender and non-binary people like me hear this all the time.
But according to the HRC Foundation, there are more than 2 million transgender people in the United States.
We live in every community across this country.
You might be surprised to hear that there are more transgender and non-binary people in the United States than there are
Starbucks,
McDonald's, and Walmart locations combined.
In fact, if you put us all together,
there'd be more non-binary and transgender folks than the populations of DC,
or Nebraska,
or Maine,
or Idaho,
or West Virginia.
As a matter of fact, 15 states have a lower population than the amount of trans folks in the U.S.
So here are a few things to keep in mind.
You don't always know when a person is trans.
But we're your neighbors,
your co-workers,
your students,
your customers,
and even your friends and family.
We exist in every culture, todas las culturas, throughout human history.
And while we're more visible than ever before,
sometimes you just don't see us.
So when you hear about politicians pushing for discriminatory bills,
know this, these bills address problems that aren't even real.
Problems that don't actually exist.
But we do.
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 And we need your support.
Every night and day.
Hi, this is Emma. I am a co-host of Transpositive here at KABU. At KABU, we prove every day that people-powered radio has the ability to bring us together across distances and give us hope when we feel despair. Your friends at KABU want to remind you that generosity has the same power. Join thousands of KABU supporters from all around the world, and let's rally together to build stronger communities. If you can, just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to this number 44321. And thanks so much for your support of KBOO Community Radio. Bedroom surprise. They call it climbing and I call it visibility. They call it coolness and I call it visibility. They call it way too rowdy. I call it finally free.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
We know a KABU community membership is at the top of everyone's wish list this season. Give the gift of supporting grassroots community media by making a donation during KABU's Catalog of Connections campaign now through December